Sports Radio.
So awesome to be back in the jungle. This program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thank goodness, finally, Labor Day weekend. No more garbage in the NFL. No more nonsense with the preseason. Thankfully, we can say it's time for regular season football. Week one coming up on Thursday with, of course, Green Bay and Chicago. I'm really excited about the lineup today because we're going to talk a lot of college football. We're going to talk a lot of NFL. Kevin Harlan from CBS, and of course does the NBA on TNT, is going to be with us in hour number one. Hour number two, Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com to talk both about college football and the NFL. Then Brett McMurphy at the top of the third hour, the college football insider for Stadium Network. And we're going to close the show today with Isaiah Thomas as he tries to make the comeback from being really at the top of the ladder just a few years ago with the Boston Celtics and has now found a home with the Washington Wizards. We're going to have Isaiah Thomas come on towards the close of the third hour. We're going to reflect on what his life has been like the last couple of years. You can always call the show, 800-636-8686. You can email the show, rome@haveittake.com. All right, let's get right to college football. Now, I don't know what you take out of last night's Clemson game. They're playing Georgia Tech. All right. As a matter of fact, if you look at the top three teams, and with maybe the exception of next week when Clemson takes on Texas A&M, there are only two games, maybe three games the whole year that you're like, okay, I absolutely have to watch those games. Clemson's got Texas A&M coming up next week. That's a huge game. All right, we already have started the Heisman watch, have we not? Trevor Lawrence last night. A lot of people think he's going to win the Heisman. He didn't have a great game. 13 of 23, 168 yards, touchdown and two interceptions. How about Travis Etienne? 12 carries, 205 yards, three touchdowns as Clemson rolls over Georgia Tech. I don't know about you. The one game that I'm watching this weekend, and I watched a little bit of the games last night. I was traveling to get down here from Sacramento. But that Oregon-Auburn game tomorrow at Jerry's World, to me, is the one game this weekend that has the most intrigue. Now, I'm going to talk to Chris Landry and Brett McMurphy about this because I think of Oregon, who right now is a top-ranked team. They're right there. If they have any hopes of ending up in the college football playoff, they cannot go into Dallas and lose to Auburn with a true freshman at quarterback. All right? They have Justin Herbert. We know how great he is. When you look at other college quarterbacks, he's certainly in the conversation to win the Heisman. He's the man. The question for Oregon, are they going to be able to protect him with that outstanding defensive line that Auburn has? So to me, that game has a lot of intrigue. What would it say for Oregon if they cannot beat Auburn with a true freshman quarterback? Here's the other aspect of this game. This is a huge game for the Pac-12 conference. They're down right now. They are way down. I mean, you've got to go back to Jake Browning of the Washington Huskies when they made it to the college football playoff and they lost to Alabama in the semifinals. This is a big game for respect, for credibility. If Oregon goes into Dallas and loses this game tomorrow, you know what the narrative's going to be. Oh, the Pac-12, they're still down. Oh, they can't beat any good teams from other conferences, blah, blah, blah. This game is not only really big for Oregon, it's a huge game for the Pac-12 conference. So we'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. Again, 800-636-8686. All right, another day. Another issue with the Dallas Cowboys, although it is the same issue day in, day out, and oh yeah, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Last night, the Cowboys wrapped up their preseason at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And where there is a microphone, there is Jerry Jones after the game. This is what he had to say about his running back.
I'm operating as though right now it's going to miss regular season games. My entire expectation for what we're putting together as a team right now would anticipate with him holding out and not having laid any training camp that he's going to miss preseason, that he's going to miss games.
All right. More of Jerry Jones on Ezekiel Elliott.
We need Zeke, and we'll use him. When we get him, it'll be that much better for the Cowboys. But if we don't have him, we're going to go out there and play winning football.
All right, have you looked at the schedule for the Dallas Cowboys in their first 3 weeks? Week one, the Giants. at home. Giants defense is awful. Their linebackers are among the worst in the NFL. The Giants are without their number one receiver in Golden Tate. They're without their number three receiver, who got hurt basically in the first day of practice, is out for the year. They are not going to beat the Dallas Cowboys with or without Ezekiel Elliott unless the Cowboys turn the ball over three or four times. The Giants' defense is not going to be able to stop the Dallas Cowboys enough to win that game. That's week one. You don't need Elliott. All right, week two, you go to Washington. Their defense is much better than the Giants, obviously. But do anyone out there think that Washington is going to beat the Cowboys? And by the way, I'm not thinking the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender like some. I don't see that. Not with Dak Prescott as your quarterback. I don't see it. I just don't see how that's going to happen. Then week three, you're home to Miami. I can put Hawk in at running back, all right? They're going to beat Miami. That's without your Mariners hat on, by the way. We'll put a helmet on. But seriously. So let's just say that the Cowboys don't have Ezekiel Elliott for the first three games. What happens if Dallas wins those three games? Which they very well could win without Elliott. I would think their biggest challenge would be at Washington just because of their defense. They can put pressure on the quarterback. They're very good at the back end. I think Landon Collins is going to be great for them. Let's say they get by Washington and come home and they still don't have Elliott and they've got Miami. By the way, Miami naming Ryan Fitzpatrick their quarterback. I'm not surprised. He'll be the quarterback until he gets hurt. He'll probably play well and then he'll be out. And next year he'll be with another team. That's how Ryan Fitzpatrick's career goes. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, what a circus this is. And I'll say, I don't normally defend Jerry Jones, but I think he is 100% correct here. You've got a player that's got 2 years left on his deal who's not reporting to work. You're going to reward Ezekiel Elliott with a new contract when you have a quarterback who's looking for a new deal and a wide receiver and Amari Cooper. They have been there from day one. They are with the team. We all know that the contract negotiations are going on, but they're still doing their job. How if you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, how on earth can you give Elliott a new deal before you take care of the other guys? Now, if the reports are true, I think they've done exactly what they should do with Dak Prescott. They've actually overpaid for him if the reports are true. I don't care what the market is. Are you telling me that Dak Prescott is a $35 million a year quarterback? Come on, stop it. People go, well, gee, look at the numbers. They're better than this. They're better than that. You know what? My eyes tell me he's not a $35 million a year quarterback. How many times do you turn on the Cowboys games and you hear the analyst talking about how he missed this guy, overthrew that guy, underthrew this guy? Did Amari Cooper change that offense last year? Obviously he did. Did he make Dak Prescott a better quarterback? Yes. But is Dak Prescott a $35 million a year quarterback? Ask yourself this question. If Dak Prescott left the Dallas Cowboys today, hypothetically, is there a team in the National Football League that would sign him to a contract starting at $35 million a year? Now, I understand there's all the guarantees and everything like that, but think about that. Are you really going to give Dak Prescott that kind of money? Now, as far as Amari Cooper, you gave up a first-round pick for him. We all saw the impact that he had on that football team last year. So, is Elliott going to play this year? He's backed himself into a corner, hasn't he? And we know that these negotiations can change in a period of 3, 4, 5 hours. Happens all the time. But you got to believe that if Elliott is not in camp by Monday, he's not playing week one against the Giants. 800-636-8686. All right, so this is my first day in this week. And I know by now it's almost old news. The one aspect of the Andrew Luck retirement that has not been brought up enough, in my opinion, because we heard Rob Gronkowski this week talk about it. What did Gronk say? Physically, I'm good to go. Mentally, there's no way. I can't do it mentally right now. whether you are in the positive side of Andrew Luck, the negative side, whether you're going to be critical, whether you applaud him for stepping up and retiring, how's a guy going to play quarterback in the NFL if his head's not into it? Forget about the physical aspect. How are you going to go out and do your job if you're not mentally prepared? If mentally you are not able to do the job 100%. That's the aspect that needs to be talked about more. Forget about the physical part of you. I mean, that's his body. He knows better than anybody else. If you're not into it mentally, you can't play. You're going to tell me you're going to go out and play quarterback in the National Football League if you're not 100% committed with your head? It's not happening. So for that reason alone, and here's the second aspect of that. Is Jacoby Brissett going to lead the Colts to the playoffs? Probably not. But they have a really good offensive line. They have a good defense. And oh yeah, by the way, he's taken all the reps with the first team throughout training camp. So that's a positive for the Colts. Anybody think the Colts are going to the Super Bowl this year? I didn't think so. Could they win that division? What's going to happen with Jadeveon Clowney in Houston? Their offensive line is terrible. Are they going to be able to keep Watson upright? What's Foles going to do with Jacksonville? You know, is their defense going to be the defense of 2 years ago after how poorly they played last year? That division to me is so up for grabs, and I haven't even talked about Tennessee. If Jacksonville won the division, would anyone be surprised? If Houston won the division, would anybody be surprised? Tennessee, Indianapolis, what a well-balanced division. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with Kevin Harlan, one of the great voices in sports broadcasting that we have in this country. We'll talk to him about the upcoming NFL season, a little NBA, and a little history of how he got started in this business. His stories are fascinating. Kevin Harlan from CBS Sports coming up next right here. The Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Back with you here in the jungle, Grant Napier. Getting you ready for Labor Day weekend. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the show one of the great voices that we have in our industry. He is in the process of saying goodbye to his family for the next 6 months. He, of course, does the NFL on CBS. He does Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And, oh, yeah, beginning in the NBA season, you'll see him with the NBA on TNT. It is Kevin Harlan. Kevin, it's great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Grant. Great to hear your voice. Reminds me of basketball. Yep. And wishing you and your listeners a very happy holiday weekend coming up. And like you said, yeah, we're kind of all buckling in now for a long stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. You start off with the Bills and the Jets, and you know, everyone thinks the Patriots are automatically going to win the division, and you know, why should this year be any different? But I think you're going to learn a lot early in the season with these two teams. This to me is a very intriguing matchup you have a week from Sunday.
Well, you know, Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback, as a rookie a year ago, was the highest-rated quarterback by Pro Football Focus in the last month of the season, the last four games. His numbers were as good, if not the best, of anybody, and so he really kind of turned a corner. Of course, that was with a different coach and feel. Now they've got Adam Gase as their head coach, who's an offensive guy who has worked with Peyton Manning, has been a head coach in Miami, now goes to the Jets, and so With the addition of Le'Veon Bell, I think it changes Darnold's life for the better. A great running attack is a quarterback's best friend. Ask Dak Prescott down in Dallas what Elliott means to him and other guys that have had the great running back. Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh when he had Bell. So this is going to make Darnold's life a lot easier. And if what you read is true and what you see and hear is on point, then they're going to give Bell the ball a lot, and they're going to be very creative in the way they handle it, and Darnold will be at the controls.
You know, you talk about Sam Darnold and with Le'Veon Bell, what a circus it's going to be in week two with the Browns coming in on a Monday night game, Odell coming back to New York, albeit the Jets, Baker, Sam, you know what the buildup's going to be for that game. And then the Jets are in New England week three. So they have an early bye right after that New England game. We're going to learn a lot, not only in that Bills game, but these three games to me, for Adam Gase and the Jets, you know how the New York fans are. You know what the media is. Boy, if they get off to a bad start, this could be brutal for them.
It could be. I'm lucky enough. I'm going to have a front row seat because I've got the Monday night in the Meadowlands against the Browns, and then we've got that Patriot. Rich Gannon and I have the Patriots and Jets week three up in Foxborough, and you're right. I mean, there's a lot on the line early, kind of some big games. The Bills will be improved in week one, but a home opener with the new feel as they turn the page and begin a chapter in New York with the Jets, you know, it's going to have a great excitement to it. There's a lot riding on some of the acquisitions they've made. The true test will come, you know, as they get into the season. But you're right, the first month is very, very difficult. I just finished doing Green Bay's preseason, and the Packers with a brand new coach who's 39 years old with a Hall of Fame to be quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They've got five of their first seven at home. So the Jets begin at home two straight weeks. That's a great way for a new staff and a new feel to begin a new season. So both those franchises are pretty lucky the way they're going to start the 2019 season.
You've got the Chargers and the Lions in week two, and I'm curious what your take is now without Derwin James for a good portion of the season and how that's going to, number one, affect their back end and the holdout of Melvin Gordon, because a lot of people thought when camp opened that these Chargers would be right there knocking on the door to maybe get to a Super Bowl.
They'll find ways around it, I'm sure, Grant. You know, the thing is that with Philip Rivers, he always seems to find other outlets. And when he finds those other outlets, it usually works for him. It's a pretty strong team overall. I think personally, again, that Rivers is a better quarterback with a guy like Gordon back there. I mean, it just gives the defense, as we all know, even though the position is underpaid and probably undervalued, that running back just does so much for a quarterback. And there's no doubt that Gordon's presence back there helped what Rivers was trying to do. They think they've got some guys that can at least fill the role, as they do in Dallas without Zeke. So we'll find out how this is going to work along. You know, Stafford is still looking for something in Detroit in the backfield that's going to be anywhere close to kind of relieving some of the pressure. If you've got that good running game, it helps the passing game. They go hand in hand. Every quarterback will admit that. It's just finding that right guy who can wear a lot of different hats. He can pass protect. He can be a three-down running back. He can pass protect. He can go out and get passes, and he can run the ball. And when you've got one, it just makes everything go so much smoother. But with Gordon holding out and Zeke holding out and Bell coming back, I mean, we've got three running backs that right now are in the crosshairs of some of the bigger headlines going into the season.
Kevin Harlan, my guest here on the Jim Rome Show. I want to talk a little basketball for a moment or two. You know, the past 5 years, it's pretty much been a foregone conclusion that the Warriors were going to be in the NBA Finals. And now you see all the movement once again. You know, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Rockets. I think the Jazz are going to be very good, Kevin. And we can start right there, and I'm leaving a couple of teams out. But how much fun, I mean, how wild. We always talk about the wild, wild West. Wow, this is going to be unbelievable this season, isn't it?
A lot of moving parts, aren't there, Grant? You and I will get good seats to watch some of these games and Westbrook in Houston. And you know what's Kyrie going to do in the East without Durant for 1 year and now we hear about Melo trying to make a comeback, and the Nets would like him, and what's Boston going to be like with Kemba Walker, and will Philadelphia be as strong as they were, and how will, you know, Jimmy Butler down in Miami affect now with the Heat are doing? I mean, every place, and of course Milwaukee being as good with the MVP, maybe even better. You know, there are great stories all over the league. And you sit and you think about what could be and how an injury can play a role and how new teammates, you know, congeal on the floor and the long, you know, regular season and what it finally develops in terms of rotations. The NBA, to me, has never been more interesting and more compelling because of these off-season moves. I know the league is looking at this, though, as there is a warning flag here. There's something that needs to be noted, and that is that Adam Silver is really studying the process the way it is laid out right now. Surely the headlines that the league gets in the off season are tremendous. But there is, you know, he wants to make sure that everything is above board here too, and I agree. I think there's got to be some incredible transparency, some rules that are lived by, and this is going to be something that the NBA, because of this machine that they've created, especially with these players being able to move and the super teams that are now being put together with the Clippers and with the Lakers. I mean, these things have got to really be analyzed to make sure that everything is being dotted and crossed as they go down this path.
Kevin Harlan, talking to us about the NFL, the NBA, and, oh, yeah, one other thing, because I'm fascinated by how you got started in this business. You know, Kevin, I'm sure you would concur with this. If we had 50 of our colleagues in a room and we all asked them to give their stories about how they started in this business, we'd have 50 different stories. Share with our audience around North America your love for this profession, how early you were when you started practicing, and at what age was it when you said, you know what, that's what I want to do for a living?
Well, the first voice that I ever remember really latching on to, probably like a lot of our listeners, was the voice of NFL Films' John Facenda, because his voice and those pictures from NFL Films just really, to me, were so incredibly captivating, and that's where I got my love of football. And my dad was in professional football with the Packers for 37 years and ran the organization for the last 20 that he was in Green Bay. And I was lucky enough when I was in high school to go to a high school that had a student-run 10-watt radio station. And I joined when I was 14. But even before then, when I was like 11 and 12 years old, would do games off of my television, turn down the sound, and begin to broadcast. Like a lot of guys in this business, you begin early enough, and your love for it shows, and there are stories like that, probably yourself, all over the business that guys have begun so early. And so it's a lot of hard work. I've got a daughter in the business with ESPN, and she went to the University of Georgia and was in journalism. I was in journalism at the University of Kansas, and I was saying the other day to somebody who was asking about my job, I said, it's more like a hobby. It's like, this is the kind of stuff that we're lucky enough to do that you would do like on a weekend, like guys getting ready for fantasy drafts right now all over the country. And I think about how lucky we are to be in this business. And there's not a day that goes by or a game that goes by that I don't think about where I began, how much fun I've had, how lucky I've been to be in the business and do these games. When I put on that headset, it is a thrill every time, and it never gets old. It never gets mundane. It always stays so very vibrant in my mind, and I look forward to every broadcast.
And then, Kevin, there were those little trips sneaking in the Lambeau Field and sitting in the broadcast booth where Ray Scott would sit, and you would do an imaginary game, wouldn't you?
Yes. When before the stadium was renovated, I was a ball boy for the Packers when I was 11, 12, and right through high school. And during lunch breaks, I used to sneak out, climb the steps at Lambeau Field. The press box, to show you what kind of safe city Green Bay is, the press box doors were always wide open. And I'd go up to the Packer broadcast booth or the national TV booth and look out onto an empty stadium, empty field, and recreate Fran Tarkenton and the Minnesota Vikings with Chuck Foreman and Ed Marinoro in the backfield and Gilliam as a wide receiver playing the Green Bay Packers on Lambeau Field turf. I just did a game last night. The Chiefs were in for the final preseason game, and I do the Packers preseason, as I said. And when I sit up in that same position and look down on that field, I think about when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, recreating these games, and thankfully nobody was up there cleaning. No one was in the press box, so I could scream as loud as I wanted to on an imaginary play. So it really was the stuff of dreams, and it's a wonderful feeling to have some of those dreams come true, and that's really what my career, my blessed career, has been about.
Other than a family member, who's had the biggest impact on your broadcasting career? Did you have a mentor growing up? Who is that one person that you maybe idolized more than anyone else?
Well, my dad was my first mentor and the person I idolized the most. He is my hero, but probably right behind him is a guy that I got associated with when I went to college at the University of Kansas. The broadcaster was Tom Hedrick, and Tom Hedrick was the voice of the Jayhawks, and he was also teaching a class in the journalism department about sportscasting. And I went there to learn under Tom Hedrick. He put me on the Kansas Football Network as a freshman, doing sideline, pregame, halftime, and postgame. I was 18 years old on the statewide Kansas Football Network. I would do stuff locally, and Tom always opened the door. I'd fill him for him on sportscasts locally, and that got me into radio stations in Kansas City, producing the Kansas City Chiefs radio network when I was a sophomore in college, and things really kind of moved from there. But Tom Hedrick was the first radio voice on CBS radio of Super Bowl I and Super Bowl III and IV, so he's got a very historic place in this business. And luckily enough, he took an interest in me as a young broadcaster, and so his impact on me has been invaluable, obviously.
That is incredible. Kevin, safe travels. I'm sure that our paths will cross during the NBA
I hope so.
Season. Be well, my friend.
Thank you, Grant. Have a nice holiday weekend. Thank you for having me on. Always great to talk to you.
Hey, great to talk to you. That's Kevin Harlan, CBS Sports and TNT, Westwood One. I mean, you think about Kevin, and as blessed as I am, and others that have sit in this chair, whether it's Jim or other guest host, you know, we all love what we do for a living. And I'm blessed, and I've done the NBA for 31 years, and I've been blessed to do the NFL and the NHL. But think about Kevin. He does a game on CBS on Sundays, does the Monday Night Football package on Monday, sometimes on the other side of the country, all right, has the NBA on TNT, gets to do the Super Bowl on Westwood One, and he's great. I mean, he's just great. And I'll tell you, if you had a chance to spend 2 minutes alone with Kevin Harlan, you'd walk away going, boy, what a great guy he is. Really is. He's one of the best, both as a broadcaster and as a person. All right. It is now time for our latest sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
And it is time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when maybe I'll answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, every time I come in and host this show, I love talking with some of the great voices that we all watch or listen to on a regular basis, whether it's a legendary hockey announcer like a Doc Emrick, or it's someone like Kevin Harlan, who is at the very top of their profession. I had Marv Albert on a couple of months ago when I was in here talking about how he got started. And Kevin, and I'm just fascinated because in this profession, you can't, I get students coming up to me all the time. You know, how do you get to be a sports broadcaster? And there is no, well, you got to do A, B, C, D. It doesn't work like that. And not to make this about me, but I started doing play-by-play on the schoolyard during my lunch recess when I was in second grade. And I grew up listening to Marv Albert. And Marv was the radio voice of the Rangers and the Knicks. And I actually used to, when I got to junior high school, I had a little cassette recorder, and I would record all of the games that Marv would do, whether it was a Knicks game or a Rangers game. And I, you know, back then you were talking about an old cassette, and you'd have to write down the number on the counter where the highlight was. And in homeroom, me and my buddies would huddle up before we got the bell to ring for first period, and I would have all the highlights, and we would listen to him. We were fascinated by his calls because he was so great. And whenever we had a school assembly in junior high school that ran early, everyone would start chanting my name. They'd go, Grant, Grant, Grant. And I kid you not, I would have to go up on the stage in front of the whole school and do a mock Knicks or Rangers game with commercials. I would sometimes go 2 minutes and the bell would ring. Sometimes I would go 10 minutes. I still remember the commercials I would have in there. And a lot of the companies aren't even in business. Like, I remember doing Eastern Airlines, the Wings of Man, and the second largest passenger carrier in the free world. Look it up. There is no Eastern Airlines anymore. But, I mean, and I would literally do that throughout junior high school, throughout high school. And, you know, we all have different ways of getting into this business. But like Kevin, I was blessed. I went to Bowling Green to play lacrosse. They had a really good radio TV program, mostly radio. And it's interesting listening to Kevin talking about as a freshman. As a freshman, I started doing Bowling Green football and Bowling Green hockey, and their hockey team was a national powerhouse. And hockey really is my first love in doing play-by-play. I love doing hockey. But I just think it's fascinating to listen to a guy who's at the very top of his profession. And you think about as a kid sneaking out during lunch hour. Now think about this, sneaking out during lunch hour, going into the press box at Lambeau Field, sitting in the broadcast booth and doing play-by-play at that age. It's just unbelievable. I love hearing stories like that. And, you know, it's funny because people always ask me, well, gee, what's this guy like? What's that guy like? Very often when we're together at, like, for instance, in 3 weeks, I'm going to New York for the NBA broadcast meetings. And all the broadcasters from the league go to New York for a two-day session. And we sit around and we tell stories like this. Hey, how did you get started? How did you get started? Boy, what's the craziest story that you've ever had? I remember meeting Al Davis for the first time. I did the Raiders for 5 years on TV for the preseason. Back when Bruce Allen was the general manager. Rich Gannon was the quarterback. And Jerry Rice, Tim Brown. So think about this for a minute. Bruce Allen goes, I need you to meet Mr. Davis. I said, fine. So I'm at the practice field in Napa. And Al is in his white sweatsuit right between the two practice fields. And Bruce goes, Grant, come on, we're going to meet Mr. Davis. So we walk around the field, and I'm really nervous. I mean, anyone that's – I'm sure Jim would tell you this too. We recognize that people are just people and they're all the same, but not Al Davis, all right? Like, I'm getting ready to meet this iconic, legendary figure, and I'm nervous as all heck walking up to meet Al Davis. And so – Bruce introduces me to Al. He doesn't take his eyes off the practice field and said, Grant, where are you from? I said, New York. Well, Al's from New York. So right away, he starts asking me questions about where I grew up. And we talked for about 7-8 minutes. And he said, okay, Grant, here's the one thing that you have to always remember. I said, yes, sir. He said, you always have to remember to salute the flag. Do you know what I mean? Yes, sir. Do you know what I mean? Yes, Mr. Davis, salute the flag. So I said, it was nice meeting you. He goes, Grant, I'll see you on whatever the day was we had our first game. So Bruce Allen takes me back, and he goes, do you know what Al meant by saluting the flag? I said, I really have no idea. He said, what Al means by saluting the flag is that the Raider fans, at the end of the game, the last thing that they're going to see is you and Jim, because I did the games with Jim Plunkett, and they want to make sure that you put a positive vibe in their heads as you sign off. I said, got it. First game, we're in Dallas, old Texas Stadium, playing the Cowboys. I think the final score was 52-17, the Cowboys. And so I'm doing a game with Jim Plunkett, and I go, hey, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up right here on the Raiders television network. I look at Plunk. I go, hey, Plunk, you know what? I'm going to let you salute the flag on this one. Well, what am I going to say? 52-17. So I put it on Plunk's shoulders. But seriously, when you meet some of these, and Kevin, I mean, gosh, he's at the top of his profession. I'm a local announcer, but getting to know the Marv Alberts, the Mike Breens, Kevin and all the others, it's so much fun because we share stories like this. But I would say, if you are an aspiring broadcaster, do what Kevin did. Do what I do. Start practicing your play-by-play with the volume down on your TV. Listen to announcers around the country, which I couldn't do growing up. We didn't have that capability. There was no internet. I couldn't listen to Chick Hearn. I couldn't listen to Bill King. I couldn't listen to Ernie Harwell. I couldn't listen to Jack Buck for the most part. Study other announcers. Don't copy them, but study them. What do you like? What don't you like? Maybe take a couple of phrases here and there. But don't take a catchphrase, because that's their catchphrase. Develop your own style. Be unique. And most importantly, be yourself. All right, if you want to call the show, you can at 800-636-8686. Something else I want to get into today. And that has to do with USA Basketball. I know that there aren't a lot of people that are even following USA Basketball. And I get that for a couple of reasons. But I want to get your take on this. Are you not following USA Basketball because it's a non-Olympic year and you don't care about non-Olympic years? Or is it because all of the stars, the real top players in the league, have said no thank you to Jerry Colangelo and USA Basketball? They won the Olympics, all right, in 2008, 2012, 2016. Team USA gold medal. They won the World Cup in 2010, 2014. In those five competitions, they're 42-0. But here's my take on all of this. Would you even care, and when I mean care, I mean really be into what is going on this year in the World Cup if Russell Westbrook was playing or Kyrie Irving, would that really change your viewing habits? I mean, think about this. September, what do we have? College football starting up. The NFL. If you're a tennis fan, you got the U.S. Open for 2 weeks. You've got the baseball pennant races. This country doesn't really care about non-Olympic years. Do you watch swimming in non-Olympic years? Do you watch gymnastics in non-Olympic years? Do you watch track and field in non-Olympic years? I would say the majority of people know they don't. You watch figure skating in non-Olympic years? No. But in the Olympics next year in Japan, you'll be watching the swimming and you'll be all wrapped up in it. You'll get completely wrapped up in the gymnastics. You'll be completely wrapped up in USA basketball. Here's the difference, because I've got two players on the Kings, Bogdan Bogdanovic and Nemanja Bjelica, who are playing for Team Serbia. This is huge for them. The players that are not Team USA, that are representing other countries around the world, it's huge. This is a big deal for them. Is it a big deal for the players that are the 12 among Greg Popovich's team in Shanghai? Yes. But is it big for anyone else? Seriously, does anyone really care about the World Cup in America? Next year, you'll be completely into it. You will watch every game. You will be disturbed beyond belief if the United States does not win a gold medal in basketball in the Olympics. You might be a little hurt if they don't win the competition in Shanghai and don't win the World Cup. But they probably have, what, their third roster? In other words, are we down to the 25th best player in the NBA? No, I wouldn't go that far. But the point is, the stars of the sport are not playing in Shanghai. That's an issue. I had Jerry Colangelo on my show in Sacramento 2 weeks ago before the team left for Australia. I said, Jerry, have you ever thought of a concept where if you're not on Team USA the year before the Olympics, you're ineligible to play in the Olympics? He said, no, but what we might do is make that team a 23 and younger team. Make it a developmental team for future Olympic Games. I could see that. I could see that. But how can you get wrapped up in a competition when the rest of the world has their best players? Adetokounmpo is playing for Greece. Jokic is playing for Serbia. And I can go around the rest of the world. The United States, their best players are sitting at home. But their best players that are sitting at home will be calling Jerry Colangelo and Greg Popovich, and they will be playing for Team USA in Tokyo next summer. So my question as we get through the next couple of hours, is that right or is that wrong? Should Team USA, like we see around the world, say if you're not on the team the year before the Olympics, then you're not going to be on the Olympic team? Do you think that would change any of the stars' take on this? Do you think that maybe Kyrie Irving or some of the other stars of the league would say, man, I really want to play in the Olympics. It's been a dream. I'll play this year in the World Cup and play, obviously, next year in the Olympics. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. Chris Landry, love his takes on both college and the NFL. He is from Landry Football. He's got a great website, LandryFootball.com. We're going to talk to him about the big game tomorrow in Dallas with Auburn and Oregon. We'll also talk to him about what he has seen in the preseason in the NFL. That's coming up next. Don't forget, we'll have Brett McMurphy from the Stadium Network in hour number three and Isaiah Thomas in hour number three. Right here, the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. 3 seconds. Bogey for the win!